Hi, this is Charles at democraticfundamentalism.org with the news in review. This program recorded Friday, November 29th, 2002, 10 p.m. Pacific time. Peace by oppression. It's not peace. That statement's been on my mind a great deal lately. It comes to mind when I think of what's been going on in terms of homeland security, separation of church and state, war. Even Bob Barr has signed on to consult with the American Civil Liberties Union because of his concerns over the encroachment of rights to privacy and other rights and privileges. More than anything else in this report, what I want to talk to you about is propaganda and how the Bush administration times and stages events as well as leaks announcements in order to get you to go along with his administration's policies. It's one of those connect-the-dots things. That light, let me ask you this question, and I admit it's kind of a facetious question, but I'll prove to you a little later why it's relevant. Anyway, the question is this. If someone you knew had a gun and told you a guy with a hatchet was coming down the street and would kill you, you'd probably let the guy with the gun be your leader, wouldn't you? At least for a while. Later on, I'll talk about the setup going on with Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It's really quite a show going on. Before we get into the news, though, I want to welcome those linking in from other sites and let you know that on democraticfundamentalism.org we have links to full stories concerning the topics I'll be talking about. Just go to the News in Review link from the front page of democraticfundamentalism.org and select the text version of this report. You'll find the news links there. You'll also find the mix for the day. We do a music mix practically every day that goes along with the news. With that, let's get into the news. Aaron Brown on CNN's Newsnight impressed me tonight on a variety of topics, especially the report on the issue with Saudi Arabia and the alleged funding of terrorist groups. This and another interview he had with Congressman Bob Barr of Georgia. Barr will be leaving Congress this year, and, well, I've said it before, I disagree with Mr. Barr on certain issues, but I always believed he offered a great deal in the national political discussion. Well, it was officially announced that Bob Barr would be consulting with the American Civil Liberties Union because of his common concern with them regarding the right to privacy, the Patriot Act, and more. I'm going to read you a little of the interview from the program, but believe me, there's a great deal more you'll probably want to read. It's on the link below called CNN Newsnight with Aaron Brown. Bob Barr said, what I'll be doing is working with them and actually a number of other groups, such as the Southeastern Legal Foundation and some others, on matters that we all have in common, and that is a shared concern over the loss of personal privacy, particularly in the age of using more and more government power to fight terrorism. We believe there is a balance that has to be struck between privacy rights and the needs of government, and we're tending too far in the direction of taking away personal privacy for governmental power, and that's something that concerns the ACLU, and it concerns Bob Barr. If we are now going to say that government can develop surveillance on individuals with no reason, that they can develop and accumulate and manipulate evidence on the average citizen without any reason whatsoever, then we are, by fiat, amending the Constitution without amending it. And that's a very serious step that I think we ought not to take. And Aaron Brown asked, do you think it's a fair criticism that members of your party, the Republican Party, have been reluctant to get into this fight overall because the bill was proposed by the president of their party? Barr said, well, when you have leaders like Dick Armey, our outgoing majority leader, who finds fault with this and who is also apparently going to be doing some work with the ACLU, I think our party ought to stop and take a long, hard look at this. People like Dick Armey are not extremists. This is a mainstream, very important Republican leader. Like I said, there's much more to that interview on CNN. I think what he had to say is very important. Someone once asked me why I point out from time to time that I disagree with someone and then quote them on another thing. The fact is, one of the things I'd like to help foster in the world again is the idea that everyone has something constructive to say about things, and that if we're willing to listen, there really is a way to make things work for everyone. whatever the issue or need. But, for example, I've seen women go through the personal trauma of having an abortion, believing it was the right thing to do, but regretting it still. I've known women who have kept the child, and I've seen very few of them who have been able to overcome the burden of raising a child and, say, having a successful career. We see the stories on TV of people persevering and overcoming their obstacles. And it's incredibly important to be reminded that all things are possible, but that isn't typical. For me, I'm not really in favor of abortion per se, but I'm pro-choice. I've had to make some medical decisions about my own life that were about quality of life versus longevity. But just the idea that someone else could force me to do one thing or the other with my body is unthinkable. And I really do believe that until our society is willing to honor humanity in the way we treat unwed mothers, we have no place to even think of beginning to talk about enforcing such mandates about it. If for no other reason, consider this. In our society, unwed women who have children are stigmatized, have a difficult time completing their education, have little or no health care for themselves or their children. There are a great number of detriments. Malnutrition is common, and it's been determined that every time a person is undernourished, the brain suffers a little damage. The impact on young, developing minds can be significant. That's one of the reasons the Head Start Breakfast program is so important. I understand that some might say, well, when you make your bed, you've got to lie in it. And to an extent, that's true. I would expect a mother to give proper care to a child. But it's difficult to find a job that supports you, will put up with your need to take the baby to the doctor as well as pay for child care. And yet our society ostensibly penalizes those who make what pro-life advocates would call the right choice. They say it's their lot in life. But I always wonder, why? Who said it should be that way? Who made up that rule? And to benefit who or what? None of that sounds like creating a world that works to me. To me, that doesn't sound much like the way a real community would treat one of its children, nor a country based on moral disciplines or religions, Christian or otherwise. People in this country believe that the welfare problem is being solved by causing employment, but it's being caused by limiting funding, raising the standards for aid, and states who could get funds for its citizens, the impoverished, but instead won't fund the cost of opening offices in order to dispense aid. Lawmakers have in the past passed legislation based on their studies, which indicated what it would cost to fund various programs. And they announce the passage of the bills and the laws, and it all sounds good, but what you never hear is that the money is never appropriated. So the program never has a chance to work because, like most businesses that fail, the program is undercapitalized and therefore cannot do the job. In this case, our success at reducing the welfare rolls has caused more homelessness, crime, and abject poverty. How many paychecks could you miss before becoming homeless? And what assistance would your government have to offer you? I assure you, it's little or no assistance available. You're on your own, or just as good as that. I don't care how much you've paid in taxes over the years, you're basically on your own. If you need 40 people to do a job and you only hire 10, do you expect to get the job done? I doubt it. Now, you might think that what I've been talking about is abortion and welfare and legislation and appropriations, but I'm not. I'm really talking about the impressions you have about things. When polled, most people think that our foreign humanitarian aid has appropriately been about 17% of our gross national product. The truth is, it's been less than 1%. That's a pretty large gap between perception and reality. Now, I'm not even talking about whether it's enough or not, or how much it is, and what benefit we've provided, or if it's good or bad. I'm just talking about the gap in the perception. So because my stints in advertising, and of course a father who used to talk about recognizing propaganda all the time, I thought I'd talk a little about how people are manipulated into changing their minds about what they think and how they act. Now, one of my favorite examples of what I'm talking about, propaganda, is how Ronald Reagan was used years and years ago in TV ads to convince Americans that smoking is a good thing. TV ads are the primary reason and method used to convince Americans that smoking is bad. Propaganda is one of those words that's been misused, so there's a bit of an inaccurate perception about what it means. Put simply, propaganda is any type of communication that would attempt to persuade you to do something or think something. It can be a good thing or a bad thing. Could be advertising or political ads or talk radio hosts or any number of things, signs along the road. It's all propaganda. As I often say, any tool can be used to do good, or it can be used to do bad or used for an unfair advantage. It's all about intent. You might say it's all about what the goal is. In this case, let's suppose that we're a large nation being attacked by a terrorist group that's very clever and capable of horrendous acts, for whatever reason or justification they might have, and you have a leader who, instead of really making homeland security a top priority, goes out of his way to provoke even more hostility and warmongering around the world, as if one war at a time isn't enough. Now remember, our leader made a speech called The Axis of Evil. No one was overtly making threats. There's no doubt that there were threats and dangers, diplomatic issues that needed to be resolved, but there's this thing called diplomacy that seemed to have been misplaced in all matters of foreign affairs. We see pictures of this leader triumphant in his conquests of building a coalition of the willing. Speeches in front of crowds of people telling them that we'll protect them, when in fact what we'll expect is for them to join us. All the while, the participants who are supposed to be willing complain of arm twisting. But what do we see on TV? What do we hear about? Victory. The image and perception of victory. The way you would want to see it if you saw a movie about one of the best leaders of all time. Someone you would vote for. And we pass bills and create departments and take advantage of the opportunity to throw some things in at the last minute that aren't quite in line with the intent of the Constitution, and then leave town and then act triumphant on behalf of Americans for creating Big Brother on their behalf. Such an honor. But the picture Americans see is that their leader has won a victory on behalf of the American people in securing their safety. That's right, legislation that does everything, including suspending the requirement for airports to screen all baggage before loading it on a plane. Legislation that allows for drug manufacturers to be let off the hook should they put out a bad batch of vaccine, for example. A great deal is going to be eventually put in place to allow the government to collect information about us all, and regardless of how they say it will be used, the opportunity for abuse is very great. History suggests that it will indeed be abused. But our government, with its lack of ability to set sound priorities to protect us and prevent hostilities toward us, would rather be aggressive first and diplomatic after our threats are delivered, putting us in a greater danger before we are prepared to defend ourselves, as well as the inability to tell us what their so-called economic policies are, and their seeming lack of concern about the millions of people who will be losing unemployment benefits soon, though they did give themselves a raise, and believes that global warming is a fallacy and that air quality standards and environmental policies just get in the way of corporate profitability. How could they possibly convince us to go along with what they're doing? Well, I can give you a little hint. I'm going to read something to you that explains a lot. Actually, it's by Hermann Goering. I've read it before. It's one of Hitler's top propagandists. Can actually give you that answer to the question of, you know, how could they get us to go along? Here's what he says about how to generate public acceptance and enthusiasm for war. Why, of course the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England nor for that matter in Germany. That's understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. Now, after hearing that, think about what's been going on for the last year or so. Frequent uncorroborated reports. Reports about fuel pump problems in planes right before the busiest holiday travel seasons. We hear questions being asked about the effectiveness of our war on terror, and suddenly the Bush administration announces they've captured some main al-Qaeda figure. Weeks ago, they didn't bother to tell us. They wait 2 weeks before telling us about Korea's nuclear weapons. There have been questions about Saudi links to terror financing for quite some time. And you have to believe that al-Qaeda timed its attacks on Israeli planes and the hotel in Kenya so that Americans home for the Thanksgiving and Jews about to begin Hanukkah would see the result of their work to make an impression on you. That is propaganda. I know myself that I reported with documentation on this website some 4 months ago or so about how the Saudi government was being cautious because in Saudi Arabia, al-Qaeda people are nearly equivalent to an American political party, and that signs of weakness could cause them to think they could execute a coup in Saudi Arabia and take over the country. But suddenly, Saudi Arabia now becomes an issue. Of course, George Bush stated to the world that he understood and agreed that Islam is peace and that Islamists are a peaceful people. So just consider those things and then think about this. Franklin Graham, Jerry Falwell, and most recently Pat Robertson were basically talking about the heart and soul of the Christian coalition. They all go out and start telling their followers and members of the press that Muhammad was a pedophile, that Muslims are violent people, and numerous remarks that basically make Arabs in general look like scary, immoral people. And they say things like, well, as a people, like a race, Christians are better, of a superior class. And they say that the Quran contains numerous descriptions and instructions to a barbaric people. When I hear things like that, I usually think intelligent things like, okay, or huh? Truly insightful things that actually capture the essence of my response. I can show you lots of places in the Bible that describe some pretty gruesome activities by Christians. The people who basically write Bush's so-called social policies at Heritage.org and the Christian Coalition get to make their point about Islamists and inoculate Bush from criticism all at the same time. It's very convenient. It's called propaganda. And I think the most interesting thing that gets repeated over and over again is how horrible these terrorists must be to be willing to die for their cause. Again, I'm not defending them, but when we send our soldiers into battle, don't we ask them to do the very same thing? What I'm pointing to is how we demonize other people and cultures for doing the very same things we do ourselves. And that's called propaganda. Then, to keep Bush looking good, Pat Robertson directly criticizes Bush for his soft stance on Islamists, and Bush gets to cling to his remarks to be, oh, the good guy, you know. Like while aides report that Bush is considering an ultimatum on Saudi Arabia regarding being responsible for who they gave charity and money to, but Ari Fleischer and Bush are left in the position of plausible deniability. The FBI makes a statement about readiness to protect us from terrorism, and the White House calls them on the carpet for scaring the public without good reason. Misdirection. It's the oldest game in the book. I'll read you a little from the interview with Robertson, presented on CNN with Martin Savage, a veteran reporter filling in on Wolf Blitzer Reports. You owe it to yourself to read the full interview. You'll be shocked. Savage says, but someone might point out and say that the Bible itself is filled with stories that account violence or incite violence. And Pat Robertson said, well, it's not true. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He told us to live in peace. He told us to love our enemies. He told us to do good to them that spitefully use us. Muhammad said, kill the unbelievers. He said that the Jews are the descendants of apes and pigs. That's being taught all over the Muslim world right now. Hatred. Notice Robertson is accusing them of spreading hatred. Savage said, there are people who have taken the fine words, say, of the Bible or of the Quran, and have twisted it to fit their own violent ways. That's been done in Christianity as much as it's been done in Islam. And Robertson said, have you ever read any of the excerpts of the Quran? And Savage said, I have, sir. Robertson said, well, you know very well what it says. There's no question that jihad historically means war. Right now, a fatwa has been issued against some reporter in Nigeria who suggested that Muhammad may have been favorable toward Miss Universe. Savage said, the fatwa was issued by a human being, not by someone on high. And Robertson said, well, I don't understand what you're trying to say. I mean, this is really confusing to me because I'm not against Islam. I have very peaceful relations with many people who hold to Islam. I just think that America had better wake up, and especially the Jews. And they want to kill the Jews, and they also consider America the great Satan, and they want to kill us. It's just that simple. It's amazing, isn't it? That's what the Christian Coalition is teaching people in churches, and they complain about what Islamic countries teach their people. Nothing else, it's hypocritical. They should be teaching ways to cause resolution, not inciting people to become aggressive. It's just like Bush's first supposed mistake about calling the war in Afghanistan the beginning of a crusade. Simple little mistake that sent a strong message throughout the Arab world. Now, I'll say again for the record, I don't at all agree with anyone who performs acts of terror. It's not the way to get things done, but I do understand it. We have some people in Virginia being described as eco-terrorists for doing damage to SUVs. Now, I think they're wrong, but I understand why they're doing it. But all they really are is some people who are frustrated by a government that won't take responsibility for our environment. I once met a guy who claimed he was an absolute pacifist, who later told me he was so frustrated that the only thing he could think to do anymore was set off some bombs. I was surprised, but then people do some strange things out of despair and passion, things they wouldn't ordinarily do. Strange. And what I'm really trying to say, really, is that we, the American public, get to watch the show unfolding before us, and the show is made of speeches that get your confidence, that tell you the goals we'll accomplish as a nation without actually ever doing anything formative to address the issues. It's a show. Well-timed information, leaks, news articles, all in a national press that is suppressed by implied threats of being accused of being unpatriotic, losing jobs, being publicly ostracized. Part of what's occurring is that Bush and company want to go to war. They want to supposedly clean up the world, but they keep us tense and concerned, so we'll do the patriotic thing and follow the leader. They do nothing for our economy, and they limit information to citizens, all the while winning the opportunity to nearly track our every move through the Total Information Awareness System. They want the world to conform to their way of thinking, but it has nothing to do with American values of liberty and equality and justice. We're in a war of fundamentalist extremists that have hijacked the leadership of the Islamic religions, and fundamentalist Christians who are every bit as much interested in a holy war to purge the world of those who would oppose conversion to a Western, or most accurately, Christian religion ways. What's occurring in Iran right now is an example of what I first mentioned. Peace by oppression is not peace. I've said all along that you can suppress the people of a nation or the world, and no matter what you do, the people will rise up and overcome tyranny. When the pilgrims first came to this country, one of the things they were escaping was religious tyranny. That's why our founding fathers were so careful to create a separation of church and state, so that religion and religious leaders would not rule the country based on their interpretation and requirement of religious expression and values. It just doesn't work. Like I said, Iran is a perfect example. Back years ago, when the hostages were taken at the end of the Carter presidency, Iran was reverting to fundamentalism under a very austere fundamentalist named the Ayatollah Khomeini. Khomeini was concerned that Iran was westernizing and losing touch with its religious values, so he decided to install a very severe fundamentalist government, an extremist fundamentalist religious leader, and his followers hijacked a nation. In the United States, some fundamentalist religious leaders are influencing the policies of this country against our Constitution regarding the separation of church and state. Just think about that. Start noticing what's going on and start thinking about it. Like I said, peace by oppression is not peace. Now, the people of Iran are beginning to reject the austerity and the tyranny of the fundamentalism, the loss of rights and freedoms, and they're beginning to demonstrate their desire for freedom and expression and religion, just as we will again, just as the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan was fighting against the fundamentalism of the Taliban. Of course, the leader of the dissident movement in Iran, questioning the right of religious clerics to claim political leadership, was shot by the government. I know I've mentioned a lot of stuff to think about, and I haven't connected all of the dots for you, but step back from the day-to-day events and look at the pattern of events, and look at the pattern of events without the emotion of your initial responses. And you'll begin to see a very different picture, a picture of propaganda being expertly used to convince you to accept things you don't want. Think about it. Peace by oppression is not peace. It's a challenge, a dare to the citizens, the people, people like us. The challenge is, what are you going to do about it? Because I guarantee you that what Bush and company are betting on is that you'll just give in and accept it. They're counting on it. There are people who have hijacked a nation and a religion, or vice versa, without regard to the will of the people. And I'm talking about Bush. And okay, there I said it. I'm talking about how Americans, we the people, need to be responsible for the conduct of America. History shows that only the people affected by conditions and circumstances will inevitably take the actions necessary to cause their own relief. Think about that. Let's take a break and look at some entertainment news. Santana's Shaman CD, whoa, doesn't seem to need any promotion that hasn't already gotten. It's selling like hotcakes. It's been rated as what will be the most purchased CD for Christmas. And I can tell you it's for good reason. It is a magnificent album. It really is. It's classic Santana, incredible performances. I highly recommend it. Sean P. Diddy Combs, he'll be part of the World AIDS Day concert in South Africa. That will be on MTV on December 1st. He said that's what's going on there, and the lack of assistance by countries like the United States makes us all accomplices in genocide. He and numerous other artists, including Alicia Keys, will be appearing in that event. I agree with him, by the way. Still love the Phil Collins Testify CD. Then there's, of course, Justin Timberlake's Justified CD. Peter Gabriel's Up. And now Shania Twain has a new CD out. It's called Up as well. Beginning to wonder what's up with that. And the art... Yeah, go ahead and boo. And the artist I'm beginning to get into a lot is India Arie. Ooh, there's some music that'll make you feel good, huh? Coming up in December, HBO has the story of Jim Brown, plus be on the lookout for Helena Bonham Carter and Michael Keaton in Live from Baghdad. It's the story of CNN's coverage of the Gulf War years ago, and it'll give you some insight into what goes on in news reporting, as well as the danger of war reporting. Looks like that'll be really excellent. Of course, I really, really love the Kevin Kline movie, Emperor's Club. You gotta see it. It's a lot of fun, a lot of wisdom, all wrapped up into one. I'm a big fan of Kevin Kline. Of course, Star Trek Nemesis is coming out on December 13th. That looks hot, too. Some great movies coming out. I'm not really sure if I want to see Nemesis. It's kind of not sure, you know. I'm highly influenceable. You know what it's about? It's basically, you know, that there's a good and a bad universe of everything going on at the same time. Right. And sci-fi. Sci-fi's got a movie coming out on Monday. It's called Taken. Very interesting Spielberg movie about aliens. I believe in it, UFOs. Do you? I really do. There's a whole nother story there. I've got a few of them, actually. Don't really know what they were. They were unidentified. That's the beauty of it. Today was the day that Royal Albert Hall was filled with fans and artists to honor George Harrison. His Brainwash CD was just released. Eric Clapton organized the benefit concert, which included the likes of Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Billy Preston, who, by the way, accompanied the Beatles on Let It Be, Abbey Road, and other albums. He was sort of like a fifth Beatle. Harrison and Clapton were very good friends over the years, too. Got a story link for you on that if you want to check it out further. We'll do a little Harrison tribute as our music mix this time out, too. Finally for tonight, we switch gears just a bit to hear from Al Gore. He's been out raising a ruckus lately as he and Tipper have been out promoting their two new books. Actually, this kind of goes along with what I was talking about before, but mostly tells you something about how all that propaganda gets spread around. It's not just me who thinks that what you hear isn't always the whole story. This is from the New York Observer, a story called Gore's TV War, He Lobs Salvo at Fox News. Al Gore said, "The media is kind of weird these days on politics, and there are some major institutional voices that are, truthfully speaking, part and parcel of the Republican Party," said Mr. Gore in an interview with The Observer. He said, "Fox News Network, The Washington Times, Rush Limbaugh, there's a bunch of them, and some of them are financed by wealthy, ultra-conservative billionaires who make political deals with Republican administrations and the rest of the media. Most of the media has been slow to recognize the pervasive impact of this fifth column in their ranks, that is, day after day, injecting the daily Republican talking points into the definition of what's objective as stated by the news media as a whole." He's completely right. It's propaganda. It's all such a tangled web. No wonder it gets confusing. Think about it, though. Peace by oppression is not peace. Then just relax, close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, imagine it's a whole new world, and that all you have to do is want it. Works for me. With that, we'll call it a wrap. This is Charles at DemocraticFundamentalism.org. You take care.